Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, here on the Yacht of Life, Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you? You know, in luxury experience, I expect more. I would appreciate it if women could be as kind as men.
Welcome to this episode of Below Deck Sailing. Oh my gosh, what a bunch of dopes.
Deck. Yeah, nice big fun episode today of Below Deck Sailing that we're going to recap in a moment. Before we dive into that, in case you missed the news flash yesterday, the voting is officially open for the 2025 Crappies happening on February 1st in New York City. Get your tickets. Actually, most of the theater is sold out. Which is really cool. Thanks to everyone for buying tickets. Again, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get your tickets. That's also where you'll find the ballot. We've got a lot of really fun categories. Really, really fun. So thanks to everyone who's already voted. And, you know, go and send it to your friends. Send it to anyone you know who loves Bravo. Because, honestly, it's just like fun. It's just like fun to do the ballot. So that's going on. Hang out with us on Patreon. Really excited because Traitors comes back this week. We have done a two-part cast breakdown for the Traitors on our bonus episodes. Part one went up yesterday. Part two is going to go up, I think, on Thursday. And then what we're going to do is we're going to recap the Traitors sort of the way we did Love Island over the summer. And we're so, so thrilled because that's like, honestly, one of my favorite shows of the year. So can't wait to get back into that. And, you know, we got tons of other bonus episodes and Crap is on Demand. You can watch us. You can watch Ronnie's back home in Texas. So there'll probably be a Bueller cameo coming up soon. He's been drinking a smoothie today. So you might see that cup.
Very healthy, guys. Got to get them vitamins in for 2025.
Get the vitamins in. Okay. So we're just really amped. It's like a really fun week. So much good stuff on Bravo and on Peacock right now. And I'm just excited for the Crappies. I'm not going to lie. We know what's going on behind the scenes. We are keeping a lot of it as a surprise. And we're just like,
we're excited.
It's going to be a good one.
Also,
it's
a good one this year. We're doing San Francisco and San Diego first. Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing those in just a couple of weeks. We're so excited. Go get tickets. Watchwhatcrappens.com. And then following the Crappies that week, I mean, right after that, we're going to be in Denver and Salt Lake City. Okay, so come. Also, you've been asking about Southern Hospitality. We are recording it right after this episode, so it will be up probably later today or tomorrow morning. And normally going forward, that show will come out on Monday afternoons.
Okay, yeah. So that's when that one's coming out. Guys, great show. Thanks. Watch it. Let's get into Below Deck Sailing Yacht Season 5, Episode 13, Mid Strife Crisis. Oh,
this is a great episode. I just want to say, not of our show, but of Below Deck. I mean, ours maybe it'll be great. Who knows?
It's gonna be one of the greatest all time episodes of Watch What Crappens ever.
Guys, we're 3 minutes and 31 seconds in, and I can tell you right now, this episode of Crappens is great.
This is already the best episode.
So good.
Previously, the guests are meeting with Captain Glenn prior to their departure to register their dismay. Blah, 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 blah.
So this lady, Jillian, she's miserable, and all her friends are miserable, and they've come on the boat to be miserable, and now they're mad that people have reacted to them being miserable. Now, she sort of has a point here, because honestly, if you're on a 7-star yacht, no matter how miserable you are, you still need the staff to be like, yes, whatever you need, smile, smile, smile. Unfortunately, they confused getting onto a 7-star yacht with this floating, you know, heap of garbage that's
trash
about to
box.
Sink any second.
Fucking sardine can, you know, with a cigarette butt ashed out in it, just kind of, you know, floating along the sea. You know, and I get it. You know, when you're in a luxury experience, you want to be treated like the 1%. Unfortunately, you're not the 1%. And we know this because you're a one-day charter. You're one-day charter people. So you can drop the fucking attitude. And you know what? I can say as a person who's been in service my whole fucking life, not the service, you know, God bless you, America. service people, but I mean the service industry. And let me tell you, we get sick of people like this real fast. And it is part of our job to not let them know how much we hate them. But sometimes that mask slips a little. Now, I don't think that it really did. I mean, I think that everybody was pretty nice to them, you know, considering. I don't think that anybody really reacted. And they even said it. So here's the scene. We've got Shari and her friend Jillian down there telling Captain Glenn how much everything sucked. And Jillian's saying, when you come for this level of luxury, you want what you pay for, which is 50% discounted, you know, crap drinks.
Yeah.
First of all.
Basically, you're getting a cheeseburger.
Yeah, you're getting what you paid for is half price. So let's not bring how much you paid into this one day charter person. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said, I feel like the guys went over and beyond to kind of help us have a good time, but the girls were all really friendly. But some of the things that came up is that they weren't attentive. They weren't as attentive as the guys. Bullshit. The guys didn't have to bring you drinks. The guys didn't have to listen to you diss them over and over again while you complained and acted like serving you an Aperol spritz, which you asked for, was a sin against nature.
Okay. Yes. Also, Diana can't help it that she has, you know, resting bitch face. Okay. That's just like, she's been through a lot. She's had to stew on like an oligarch's yacht. It's rough. And people, this week, people are like, you guys know that she's Portuguese, not Russian, right? We're like, yes. Yeah. But we also feel like she's Russian. She has Russian.
We feel like
energy.
She takes enough pride in being in that community now from working for Putin for so long on the yachts or whatever. And listen, she doesn't have resting bitch face. I don't think that's even a nice thing to say about her. She has resting, I worked for Putin for a long time face.
Yes, yes.
Which is resting. Like, you can fuck with me, but I can have you killed if I get Putin in the right mood.
Yeah, she has Putin proximity privilege. She's like, I'll still work. I'll still be in the service industry. You know, I'll be at the low end of the ladder, but I can have you. I can have you murdered by the top.
Yeah, I can say, like, instead of my Christmas bonus, can you murder these assholes? You know, who were mean to me on the yacht.
Yeah.
So then, they're like, then Shari is like, well, yeah, you know. She thought the girls were friendly, but they were just friendly in front of us. But then as soon as they turned around, they were just rolling their eyes. Well, you can't get mad at me for what I do when I turn my back. I mean, what the hell? Isn't that part of freedom of speech that I can turn my back and roll my eyes at your stupid ass? You're lucky they didn't do it to your face. Frankly, I think this cast deserves a Medal of Honor for not doing it to your face. The fact that they did it behind your back, they deserve a Tony Award.
Well, I'm very, very sorry for that, because that should never happen. Obviously, we dropped the ball here. Could I offer you as compensation a 45-minute lecture about life in a cave, growing up, spending time, being near nurses, etc.?
Cut to a black and white picture of him with an afro in the 70s. And so Shari's like, you were great, though. You made up for everything. He's like, oh, thank you. And I appreciate you saying that. And that's very nice. But, you know, we're a team. So, you know, if one person falls, we all fall. We're like dominoes, like the pizza. God, the nurses love pizza. Jeez, I wish we could have had that delivered in the cave. I'd be married by now. What were we talking about?
And by the way, in case you haven't seen the season trailer, we do fall quite a bit. It's kind of hilarious. Don't sit on the bloodstain.
Stay around for about 10 more minutes. You'll get to see the cabinet door open.
So Gary's like, what's going on in there? I'm feeling quite uneasy. And Diana's like, it's taking too long. And Daisy's like, oh, I think I'm gonna be sick. So, and Chloe's like, what could they be complaining about? Just like they had a 7-star meal last night of wedge salad and cheesy oysters and crab cakes and mac and cheese and more mac and cheese and more mac and cheese and lasagna.
And poor Daisy, chicken fingers. And poor Daisy just thinks it spilled champagne. A girl, no, they are ragging your whole existence in there. They're like, take out the trash. Her name is Daisy. So now the guests come out, and it's awkward, you know. And Daisy's like, oh, they were complaining. We knew it. I can see it on their face. Look at their complaining face. And Shari is like, thanks, everyone. There were just a few little hiccups. We felt a little tension between some of the girls. Hopefully we didn't work you too much. Yeah, you did. And you felt it. You didn't see it. So get the fuck out of here with your non-complaint. Okay. I deserve employee of the month for you not seeing me roll my fucking eyes.
I also love this move by Sherry. She's like, yeah, we all just felt a little frustration a little bit towards us. And then she turns to her friend Jillian and goes, and what else? Like, you take it from here. You don't, I'm not the only one going down looking like a bitch on TV. And so Jillian's like, oh, okay. Well, I was trying not to confront these people to their faces. But I think the main thing was I feel like the guys did such a great job of making us try to be happy. And, you know, just a few hiccups that we already shared with you and can share with your crew. So
she's like, I'm passing this to Glenn. He can fucking do it. This isn't my job. But this is giving me notes of, like, you know, good dad, bad mom type thing, where the dad is always a good guy because he works all day. Nobody ever sees mm-hmm. him. He comes home. And this is like an old style family. So I know what I'm saying sounds like sexist from the 50s, but I'm old. And so, you know, it's like my dad always got away with everything because he was always at work. And then my mom had to discipline me in the day. So my mom was always the bitch. And my dad's, you know, like the hero because he just takes us out for pizza. That's all he has to do, you know? And that's giving me a little bit of this. Like, oh, the guys get away scot-free because all they have to do is really walk around and, like, flex their glutes at you a little bit. And the girls are the ones who have to deal with you bossing them around all day. That's not fair.
No, this has always been an issue with this show because the guys, admittedly, like, the safety of the boat is in their hands. But, like, I don't feel like they are necessarily, they're not as consumer-facing, customer-facing, client-facing as the women are. And the women have to be, like, sort of flawless all day long, whereas the guys can goof off. They can smoke cigarettes over here or there, you know, dock the boat, get the toys out, make sure no one drowns. That's, you know, that's good. That's an important thing.
That's not nothing.
Not nothing. The guys do work, but, like, then they're always like, oh my God, we did so much work. And meanwhile, the stews are doing at the same amount of work, if not more, the whole day long. You know, comes dinner time, the guys are all just sitting around all the time. They're just loafing around down in the mess, and the girls are always running around like crazy. So yeah, I think you're totally right.
I love that.
Yeah,
it's my favorite thing. Like I said,
it's a great episode of Watch What Crappens.
It's a great episode of Ronnie. I think you're right. That's what we should call the show. It's my favorite thing
you're
to
totally
hear.
Right.
It's, you know, it's few and far between, but God, I just love to hear it. Okay, so Glenn's like, guys, that was a tough one. Wasn't our easiest charter. We'll chat about it and come up with solutions. But for now, let's get everyone changed. And so Daisy's like, oh, God. Oh, Josh. Yeah, I'm also not going to take it when you're giving us so much hostility and we're working all these hours. I'm going to talk to Glenn. We're going to work on this. And Keith is like, I think you did a great job. Not that I was there for any of it.
Yeah. By the way, note that Glenn did not give these ladies a horn goodbye. He did not go rushing in to give them a...
Oh, you're right. He didn't give them the...
Wait a minute. Hold for it.
They definitely also would not have liked it. Sherry would have been like, why are they honking at us? That's kind of rude. I feel like that's a lot of hostility. We're taking some of that tip back.
So, yeah, Sherry would have been like, that was probably one of the girls. Get him.
Well, I was very happy with the charter. They said us guys did great, so thank you so much for your hard work, everyone.
And Daisy, meanwhile, is like, I don't want any guests to walk away feeling like they had an experience like that. That's why I'm not here. I'm here to yell at my underlings, and I certainly didn't want them to feel like we didn't like them. I just wanted them to feel like we didn't enjoy them or want to be around them. But perhaps we would like them in some way. Like, you know, she has like a nice shoe, or the size of her pocket seems good and comfortable for putting keys in. You know, things like that.
I certainly don't want to feel like I don't want people to feel like I don't like them, but frankly, I don't. I've had this problem many, many times. I mean, you know how many times Daisy's had this problem in her life where people are like, I feel like Daisy hates me all the time. You know, let a woman live.
It's called
our personality. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, by the way, there's literally no Chief Sue we've ever seen on this show who's been able to hide their disdain. I mean, from Hannah, the way Hannah would flare her eyes at a charter guest she hated, or the way Kate would be like,
okay, so are you idiots done with your meal yet? Oh, sorry, did I just say that out loud?
I can see you're all still living after your meal. I was actually creatively visualizing you choking on your chicken bones. But here we are, so
even,
I'll clear those.
Even Aisha last season clapped back at someone she didn't like. Remember, the person was like, this knife is a butter knife.
Actually, it's a fish knife, you fucking idiot. Get off my boat.
Unfortunately, an education in fine dining isn't on the menu for you, dear.
I live in a van and I still know more about luxury than you do. Get off my boat.
Yeah. I have to say, too, I don't have to say. I don't know why I keep saying. I have to say. I have to say, guys. But I will say. No, I don't like that either. I'll try on different things. But for now, I'm going to say that Daisy did a very good job in this episode because they really did ram Daisy. This Daisy really got it from all sides. And Daisy's very thin-skinned, you know? A long time ago, someone said, do you listen to Crappens on one of her Instagram lives? She goes, oh, God, they hate me. No, we don't. We absolutely don't. But she's very thin-skinned. You know, she can't listen to a lot of this. And I don't blame her. I'm thin-skinned, too. I'll cry at the drop of a hat if someone talks shit about me. And don't do it in comments just to see if it's true, because I will cry. And she handled all of this really well. I mean, I think that a lot of people would have been like, fuck those bitches in their... Yeah. Testimonial or whatever, confessional, but she was like, no, you know, at the end of the day, it's my job not to let them see how much I hate them, and I failed, so I feel bad, you know.
I like love Daisy, and I feel guilt that we did not put her on the ballot for Bravo Celebrity of the Year. I'm gonna say that right now. I feel guilt, like I kind of want to go in. I kind of want to go into the ballot right now and just add her in.
Do it, add her in.
I'm gonna do it right
well,
now.
Well, not right now, I mean after work. But yeah,
and I can do it. I can do it while we're podcasting. I'm very crafty.
Yeah, do it. Okay, so interior goes down to change, and Danny pulls Daisy to chat. Now, we know God. That Danny has just been told. We've just been reminded in the
last week on Blow That Selling. God damn it, Gary!
We saw in those clips where Daisy told her told Danny basically, if you've got time for peeing, you've got time to clean. Now get off fucking. Get off fucking Chase and go do some cleaning. Right. And so now let's watch how Danny turns this around to be Daisy's a monster. Because God forbid anybody tells Danny something like this. You know, we've all known children like this, or we've been children like this. Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi, mom and dad. So we see it coming from a mile off, and she does not disappoint. What a dick.
Yeah. Well, and also Danny has been mad at Daisy ever since Daisy, clap back at her and said that Danny was not being nice when she was talking shit about Keith. So Danny's like, Daisy, I'm personally like losing my passion and motivation, and I'm not speaking on behalf of Diana, but you'll be on your phone sometimes and then you'll come up and then you'll just like shoot at us for something, and I'm just like so confused. Daisy's like,
hi, Daisy's like, you?
Yes,
I shout at you. I shout at you.
Yes.
Who do you think you are saying I shout at you? I speak in a very calm tone at all times.
Well, that's what I was expecting, but she surprised me. So she's like, well, sometimes you do. She goes, oh. And she says, well, or like you'll snap at us, or you'll step at me in particular. And she's like, oh, I snap at you in particular. And she's like, well, yeah, sometimes, you know. And then, like, you know, I don't feel like we're always as a group performing at a whole to our peak because of it, you know, because sometimes we're lacking. Like, we have no fucking clue what's going on, and things have gone a bit smoother. But yes, because we've taken initiative and we've done stuff because now we know the program. This is all such bullshit. I don't know how she doesn't grab her by the hair and throw her off the side of the boat. Because this is bullshit. She tells you what to do. That's your problem with her. Whenever she tells you something to do, you get upset with her and want to go cry about it.
Yeah. You cannot say that you are taking initiative when she is the one who's catching you flirting time and time again. You're sitting there chatting to Chase and whatever piece of dick is floating by on a raft instead of doing your work. And then you're
not trying to get ahead. You're trying to get head.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, try to get that head, but do it after you clean the head.
Get that head, you know, after work. Or, well, I mean, get it at work too. It's kind of like what Daisy's in trouble for. Do it at work if you can, but don't get caught. Okay. We've all been.
Exactly.
Hi, John's Pizza.
By the way, added Daisy to the ballot. She's officially now in the running to be, although she's at a disadvantage because there's already been a day of voting. So, you know.
Well, that's great. You just confessed to that guilt, and I just confessed to giving blowies at John's Pizza when I worked there.
Pepperoni, am I right?
Oh, the good old days, guys.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like John Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the Children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
They say Hollywood is where dreams are made. A seductive city where many flock to get rich, be adored, and capture America's heart. But when the spotlight turns off, fame, fortune, and lives can disappear in an instant. When TV producer Roy Radin was found dead in a canyon near LA in 1983, there were many questions surrounding his death. The last person seen with him was Lainey Jacobs, a seductive cocaine dealer who desperately wanted to be part of the Hollywood elite. Together, they were trying to break into the movie industry. But things took a dark turn when $1 million worth of cocaine and cash went missing. From Wondery comes a new season of the hit show Hollywood and Crime, The Cotton Club Murder. Follow Hollywood and Crime, The Cotton Club Murder on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Cotton Club Murder early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Daisy's like, I'm sorry you felt like that, or you felt like a snap at ya. And secondly, if you don't know what you're doing, come and ask me. I'd like to think I'm very approachable.
Daisy. You know, maybe in the heat at the moment, maybe I'm direct. Which is funny when people say that. It's maybe I'm direct. I mean, I can only make someone care so much. You have to want to care for yourself. And as far as I can tell by the way you carry yourself on this boat, you don't care about anything. Get to work. How about that for initiative? Sorry about that. I'm a little direct right now.
Guys, I've been getting really super like artistically inclined lately and like listening to culture. And so I was listening to Sabrina Carpenter, the Sabrina Carpenter song, because it was being broken down on that podcast Song Exploder, which is so good. Anyway, I was listening to it and they were talking about the meaning of stuff. And she has this lyric, and I'm not quoting it directly because I didn't write it down, but it's something like, if you don't want to cry to my music, don't make me hate you prolifically. And that's just like so beautiful. And I think that's what Daisy's saying right now. Like, if you don't want me to be direct with you, don't be stupid. If you don't want me calling you stupid, don't be stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be better. How about that?
Which came first? The chicken, the egg, or the stupid person who didn't want to be called stupid by a chicken or an egg? Okay. Stupid people. Stupid, you don't want to be called stupid. People. Stop being stupid. Stupid.
This was really watching her say this, watching this idiot, this spoiled brat who's been slacking all season, who cried because she couldn't put like a doily where she wanted to on a tablescape.
Tablescape for my off form.
To sit here and do have this moment was hilarious. And again, I've said this before, like I do feel a real privilege in being able to watch these shows with Dom, because watching Dom react, because, you know, Dom as a choreographer, he's like in charge of people, you know, like he has to order people around. And so he's like a dancing daisy. He has to be like the daisy of dancers.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny what the way he just can roll his eyes at these people. I'm like, I feel really privileged just to watch someone just be so utterly disgusted by someone's work ethic on these shows more than
one. Well, as a choreographer, especially at his level, he's in a position where people are working so hard for their path. Like, they have passion. They come with passion. And passion doesn't win you anything. And that's most people in his business are like, but I have so much passion. How could you think that I'm not good enough? And it's like, your passion doesn't even count here. You know? And then here comes this girl, like, I need you to give me some passion. That's not how passion works, you dipshit. Nobody's gonna be able to inspire you about being excited to clean shit off a seat. That's just not how life works.
You can complain about your boss not creating like a good work environment. end and you can talk about how your motivation is low because your boss sucks. That's fair. But you can't expect your boss, like ultimately, it has to come from you. And honestly, a lot of times my experience has been that if you are just, if you like buck up and you're like a really good worker, your boss usually responds that. And if they don't, then they are really a piece of shit. But in this case, Danny is not, like, you cannot tell me that Danny, you know, just flirting with Chase in the wheelhouse, that is just not going to be the thing that's ever going to get your boss happy with what you do.
Yeah, it's no one's job to make you fucking want to be there, you know? So then Danny's like, it's just hard to care when it just feels like you don't. Oh, hell no. That's wow. When I heard all the chairs in the saloon scrape against the floor as they backed up, you know? And Daisy's like, well, I'm sorry that I give off the vibe that I don't want to be. And then her Popeye eye is like almost completely closed. She's got one eye like completely like this, like cockeyed. She's like, mm-hmm. I think I'm a very pleasant crew member.
And Danny's like, well, I'm not having a go. No, absolutely not. I'm a bit blindsided. And I mean, obviously, I'm going to have to go and reevaluate how I can create passion in what you're doing. Here, let me think about it. Get to cleaning. Here, was that enough passion for you?
When she walked past her, I died. She's like, let me go think how I can create passion for you. Okay. And then she gives her this big creepy smile and then pats her on the leg like, got it. And I was like, oh no, Daisy's gonna go fucking crazy on this girl. Daisy is gonna find a way to make this girl a living hell, life a living hell. And I was wrong, thank God. But I was like, oh my God, this does not look good for this poor young girl.
If this girl thinks that she said her piece and it's gonna be over, she's sadly mistaken. So Daisy's like, she's a fucking billboard for Gen Z. She thinks that I'm her equal. I'm absolutely not her equal. I'm her superior in every way. You're a 23-year-old who knows absolutely fucking nothing. Sit there, shut up, and learn from it.
And then Danny's like, well, her headspace is very different. It's millennial. It's like they try to rub in our face like they're so much older and wiser for us. This is so funny being so old and listening to these children. Because... you know, we've had these fights a decade ago, and it was the Xers versus the millennials. It was the same thing. Yeah. The millennials were like, you need to inspire us to do work. And the Xs were like, yeah, well, we're tough and hard, and we can make dinner out of a matchstick and a garbage tie from a trash bag. You know, like, we weren't known for being the laziest fuckers in the world during our age. Don't you remember Reality Bites with Ben Stiller and Janine Garofalo? Yes. And like, what, like, shitheads we were, and how we were, like, the laziest do-nothing generation. Yeah. That's just how it is. You know, the young people hate the old people. The old people hate the young people. God, it just feels so good to watch it, you know?
What was so funny to me is that, like, you know, we lived through the anti-millennial phase. We lived through those where it's like, oh, my God, that's so millennial. Ugh, millennial pink. Oh, my God, millennials are so bad.
Look how great they're doing now, man.
But what was funny is that, like, all the hate for millennials came from older people doing the typical thing that you talked about, which is like older people punching down on the younger people. So it's kind of funny to me to hear a younger person getting mad at a millennial, like almost with the same energy as being like, okay, boomer. I'm like, ooh, that's weird to think of millennials being in a position where they're like the old folks. Like, to me, millennials are still... like, to say, like, millennials to me are still, like, 22 years old, but they're all, like, 37, 40. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. How do millennials get to be mid to upper 30s? Like,
we're old bitches. Look at your ball sack. That's how it happened. Look at your ball sack. How did it get so low? How is it even doing that? I didn't even know there was that much skin there. Sometimes I'm like, where are you going? Are you carrying a jug of water to a small village? Who are you even?
I don't have to look at my ball sack because I can just look at Gary. So Glenn is like,
Gary, the world's ball sack, just watching it drop year by year.
He's like a sundial in ball sack shape. His Lord knows he's definitely had his son.
So then Glenn comes. So she's just, of course, wrecked by this whole Danny thing, you know? So she's about to, her head's about to fucking pop off and or cry. She goes to the bathroom, right? So then, which we all know means you're going to cry or you're going to fuck somebody. Or take a giant poop if you're Gary, if you go into that bathroom and they get you on camera. So then she goes in there, but then Glenn comes and he's like, Daisy, can I have a chat? She's like, oh, for fuck's sake, goddammit! So she comes out to chat with him and he's like, guys, you know, listen, Daisy, I had a chat with them and they just felt a little like the service wasn't up to the level that they should expect on a super yacht. Can we play the song?
It's a super, it's a mega.
It's a mega.
It's a mega.
It's a mega.
Daisy is like, well, there was such a bad vibe, and I will take full responsibility for that. I mean, I felt like I always had my manners. I think I tried to start conversation, and I laughed in their face when I spilled three glasses of champagne on the primary's lap. I thought that was charming. But the looks I was getting, a conversation, if I tried to start it, it was like stonewalling. And I got to a point where I was like, I don't know, I don't want to be around them. Like, well, when was that point? I don't know, about 3 minutes into the charter.
Well, is there anybody that you do want to be around?
No.
Great. Well, at least you're consistent. Okay. So you get points for that. So, you know, you set the tone for your apartment. So how can we come up with a way that if we get the exact same mood from the next guest, but this time with really terrible wigs and tons of makeup, what can we do different?
She's like, oh my God, this fucking day. Now you're telling me it's coming back, but in heels.
So she pulls an Emma and she's like, I gotta get out of here. So she's like, okay, go get, no, don't get yourself upset. No, it's not you, Glenn. I'll be back. Oh, fuck me. This fucking day, I'll be back. Which, by the way, that would be great if the Terminator said that. Instead of like, I'll be back. It's like, it's not you. Well, you know what? Fuck me. This fucking day, I will be back.
Can't fucking take this right now. Fucking millennials, I'll be
dun,
back.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, fuck you. Fuck me. This fucking day, I'll be back.
And, you know, her temper is like she's going to cry and scream and everything. And so she does the best thing. She walks away. And he's like, don't get yourself upset. But she leaves. And he's like, okay, take a moment and come back. I'll just be here waiting. And then he crosses his legs and sits on the bed like, I'm literally going to sit here and wait. I have nothing better to do. I will almost crash this boat in about 30 minutes. But for now, I'm sitting on this bed.
Just going to pretend this room is a cave. Daisy walks up there when they see her, and Danny's like, well, I told Daisy that I think she's unmotivated and not passionate and doesn't give a fuck. And Diana's like, you said that? She's like, yeah, I mean, what am I supposed to do, Diana? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. Your job. You're supposed to sweep, and you're not supposed to sass your boss and say that she doesn't give direction and she doesn't seem to be in it and she's not inspiring enough passion for you. How about you shammy?
Something. Yeah, you got time to weep. You got time to sweep, lame ass.
You got time to complain. You got time to explain why you're not cleaning.
Yeah, and I said it's very hard work for somebody that doesn't give a fuck.
She's doing that thing where she's like a badass because she told off the boss. So she's like going to go brag to everyone that she like told off the boss. But it just makes her look so pathetic, I think. So Diana's like, well, work-wise, she's not the worst chief stew because she's actually like, she's comprehensive and stuff. She's like, well, I've not seen that all. So kudos to you for noticing that, but I've not seen that. Now I look like a fucking bitch, so she's going to shit on me and make my life a fucking hell.
Yeah, she's your boss. Like, what do you expect her to do? You just told your boss that she doesn't really know what she's doing and her head's not in the game. What do you think your boss is going to do? You just said, hey, boss, you always are yelling at me. So what do you think your boss is going to do? Not yell at you? She's going to yell at you times two. You idiot.
Idiot. But also, this is another reason I was really proud of Daisy, because this is probably what a lot of people would have done, was make her life a living hell. And I think Daisy was tempted to. But Daisy's smart enough to see what this idiot's doing, which is manipulate her into looking like a bad boss in front of everybody else and getting revenge and doing all that stuff so that this girl would have a complaint so she could go to HR or whoever and at the very worst get a payment of some kind of settlement of some kind for complaining, and at best just make her look fucking stupid and ruin her reputation in the industry, because God forbid she told this girl to stop making out instead of cleaning, you know?
I know.
But, and it's like, she knows. She just knows that that's what she's going to do, and she doesn't play into it, even though she wants to punch her in the fucking face.
So Danny goes, this is like so mind gamey. I don't do mind games. It's just like facts. Like, you literally have been doing mind games since you've gotten on here. So yeah. Diana tells us, on my last boat, we would get punished by our chief stew if we left a little bit of dust here, or like you forgot to take this bag out. Have you ever been stuck in a closet with nothing but frozen borscht on every shelf? It's horrifying.
I thought Siberia was a saying.
until I left underwear on the floor one time.
She no made good. Me shower in goulash. Which I know is
so she's like, I love Daisy. Yeah, Diana's like, I haven't lost a finger, so I love her. I mean,
I know.
This is great. Leave a speck of poop on Putin's toilet and see how that works out for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Daisy comes back and she's like, I'm sorry for walking off. And Glenn's like, well, I'm sorry for just sitting in this bed, but God damn, it's comfortable. Okay, let's get, you know, let's talk. So this is not about chewing you out, Daisy. This is about the fact that I lived in a cave. Thank you for the shot of me with an afro in the 70s. Well, it didn't go great in your department. I know you can do it. Now take that on board. Realize that. Hey, I can do better, right?
Yeah, pretty sure. It's like, okay, give me a hug. So Danny then upstairs is like, that was absolutely terrifying. Ooh, what happened? Well, I was just telling Daisy, I think it's hard to work for someone who doesn't care. And she was just like very condescending and said, I can't bring your passion back. So now Danny, who's like not about mind games or anything, she is now quietly going around and launching a campaign against Daisy. She's like trying to find her allies and like get ahead on the narrative, right?
And saying how terrifying Daisy is. And this girl's so fucking stupid that she's going to go to Gary first when she knows that Gary is totally in love with Daisy. But it's a double because Gary chose Daisy over her. So she was dumped that way. So she's going to keep trying to turn Daisy. I mean, sorry, keep trying to turn Gary, even though she's already got Chase. She's just so fucking pathetic. And I have to remind myself, this girl is 23. You know, and so that I do think is part of it, where you're just young. You know, she's doing like young, stupid baby things. But listen, I chose not to have children for a reason. And at this point, I'm just like, spank your children. You know,
Chase goes, well, all you can say is how you feel. And she's just going to be defensive. And Gary's like, yes, she's probably yes, of course she will be, because she probably wasn't expecting that either. And I don't want to say any more because I feel bad for days. And so then Glenn's like, okay, everyone, okay, come over here for the tip meeting. So they gather around and he's like, all right, everyone, another charter done. And then they just show a picture of him with his afro. Wait, I didn't even understand what prompted that.
I didn't even say caves. Flashes up again. Okay, I deserved it that time. All right, well, the tip, you know, you can't expect other people, just because they're miserable doesn't mean we have to be miserable. We've got to give good service no matter what. Now, here's our tip, $15,000, which is actually really good for a one-day charter.
Yes.
And so everybody's like, wow, I can't believe it. What a relief.
Dr. Contessa remains the cheapest tipper of the season because she
wasn't hers she 15?
It's about 15 or 18, but it was like a three-day charter, I think.
Ish, ouch. I'm still mad at Contessa about that. And I've never really loved her on Married to Medicine anyway, as you know. I'm still pissed they brought her back. But I watch Married to Medicine every week. And every time I see her, I'm like, just shut up, you fucking lame tipper. I will never forgive her. She can never do anything to get back in my good graces. I'm like, get her, Heavenly. Get her.
I used to really like Contessa. She was one of my favorites in the beginning, but I don't know. She just really wore me out.
Yeah, she sucks now.
So and honestly, then, like watching Dr. Scott do his rap on the season premiere. Wow.
Yeah. There's no coming back from that.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, they're all appreciative because Daisy's like, we weren't expecting that and they didn't get a good experience. And that was very generous. So we appreciate it. There. Do I have a smile in my eyes? Like, no. Well, I tried. God damn it. I need a moment.
So then Chase and Cloyce are talking about going out tonight. And Chase is telling Cloyce to like woo Daisy with his dance moves. And Chase is like, I'm going to shave my nuts. See you in a minute. Huh? So then Daisy is making a drink with Keith. And she's like, well, I've had a bit of a day. He's like, oh, really? It's like, yeah, I'm next on Danny's witch hunt. She completely assassinated my character. And he's like, yeah, well, she assassinated my character, too. And like I was saying to you, like, am I the problem here?
Well, she picked the wrong fucking person. I'm gonna get that bitch so good.
And he's like, got a boner. I've got a boner.
All I see is a piece of toast coming out of your fly. That's it. That's the boner.
Boss bitch Daisy, I'm so angry. I'll hand her this one up. Karma. Hold on. All right, I'm coming now. Get over here, Danny.
He's like, I'd like to have a good night because I have the best night when you're having a good night. So I hope that you have a good night. That's me. Good-natured Keith. I've been in plays in high school.
Well, I'm not going to let it ruin my night. So Chase and Danny show up and everything. So everyone goes to dinner and everything.
I've got to stop doing Daisy because I'm getting legit cockeyed. I can feel my face. I'm going to have like a mini stroke Bell's palsy situation making that face, and it's going to get stuck like that. And that's going
to
be
don't corner. Blame me for it. It's not my fault that you don't have the passion to keep your face straight.
I'm going to walk around like this in life.
Well, look, Daisy's got three different guys pining after her, so maybe there's something to it.
She does. She really does. She's got some kind of magic there. So let's see. So then Cloyce, you know, because Daisy's still like, that was the worst charge I've ever done. And Cloyce is like, I think you did an incredible job, all things considered. She's like, you're very sweet, little one. And he's like, I like the psychology of an older lady. Yeah, that's why I'm a bit. I would kill him if he said that about me.
He's like, yeah, so yeah, I'm a bit flirty with Daisy. When I was 17, I met a girl at the swing club.
I can't. Can we stop at the swing club?
Lindy, her name was Lindy, and she hopped. She was 23 at the time. And we had a little thing. And eventually came down to the fact that she wanted to get married. And ultimately, it didn't like work out. But I remember on our first date, she had to like come to my house to pick me up. And she was like, oh my God, this is legal. And I was like, not yet.
So then Daisy is like, cheers to being better. She's talking, they're ordering drinks and food and stuff. And she goes, we're not perfect, everyone. We're human. And it's hard to be self-aware and to know what your flaws are and then to hear them back. And you're like, yeah, I know my flaws. And it's kind of double-edged because she could be talking about Danny too. So Danny, who's not winning this war, she's been trying to start a whisper campaign and it's not working. So then she's a little defensive and she's like, actually, I hate farting. I thought she was saying farting. She's like, I actually hate farting. But when somebody hurts my feelings or disrespects my boundaries or says something hurtful, what did she say to hurt your feelings, disrespect your boundaries, or that was hurtful to you? Not one. You cannot literally name one thing, ma'am.
But the fact is that, like, really, I listened to this like three times, and the first two times I really thought she said farting, not fighting. And when you hear this entire sentence, this entire paragraph as a commentary about when and when she doesn't fart, it's pretty hilarious. I actually hate farting, but when someone hurts my feelings or disrespects my boundaries or says something hurtful, I will let you know about it, but I won't fart for the sake of farting.
She disrespects her boundaries. She's farting on you.
Okay? My farting is very intentional. Like, I'm making a statement about how I feel about you when I fart.
And that's when we know that she and Gary are definitely not compatible, because she can only fart. She can only fart at you when you've hurt her feelings. And Gary will just fart on you to show his love. You know, they have an incompatible fart love language.
Yeah, they're not fart compatible, but they're not twin farts. But I will say that she says this thing about fighting. She's like, well, I hate fighting, da 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 da. Like, you know, I'm not going to fight unless I'm not going to fight for the sake of fighting. And it's just like silent.
And Daisy goes, okay. And everyone just kind of ignores her because she's obviously trying to start a fight. And Daisy's like, okay.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
We then cut to Glenn in bed watching a telenovela. Was he crying when he was watching it?
No, he was watching it and the guy's like, I can't be with you, Maria, because I am your brother. And he goes, whoa!
Our note taker really thought that he was crying, which I think is really sweet.
That's funny.
He might have been. It could have been all of the
above. That shit was hilarious. I was cracking up at this watching the telenovela. So Gary is talking to Keith and asking him about what's up with Daisy. And Keith's like,
I don't know. At first, he was more just like she was being a really good friend. But I think more recently, like the last charter, it evolved. I was going to ask you, Gary, because I know you guys have history. So I have musical theatre history, you know. You can't get a man with a gun, is what I always say. So I value both of you a lot. And last thing I want is to have a friendship out the window because I hook up with something like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to keep lifting my hands and my arms in question pose, like I'm saying a question.
Well, if you guys hook up, I won't feel bad about it. I'm all for it. I'm absolutely, really, really happy if you hook up with Daisy, my Daisy, sweet as the summer breeze. What was that? What were you saying? I'm sorry, I sort of fell into a fugue state there.
And we all know that this means Gary is going to go into full guilt mode with Daisy. Like, how could she let their relationship go like this? So now Cloyce is flirting with Daisy because she paid for dinner. And we all know Cloyce is a cheap ass because the only time he almost cried this whole season is when he had to pay the bill. So he loves a woman who pays for dinner. And he's like, so Daisy, this is at the club now. He's like, Daisy, I just couldn't help but notice you noticing me, noticing you. I just saw those kind of cataract eyes of yours, kind of bluish gray, just kind of looking off to the distance like you couldn't see anything. But then suddenly seeing me and thinking, is that a train? It turns me on.
Well, you know, you're very endearing. And I wish I were more like you when I took criticism, you know, dumb and American. And he's like,
so
you tawny dicked little foul face. That was a good one.
So then Keith outside, then some of them go outside and Keith is like, well, I'm very into you, Daisy.
Well, I will say that I like that you're into me.
Oh, well, I feel like we have such a good, we've become such good friends. And then it evolved from there.
Yes, and I like you too. I think you're the kind of person I've never met before. Like not farting in my face. And slurring your words and just being a disgusting scab of a human. Sorry, Gara. No offense.
I'll never fuck ya. That's all I heard. And Keith is like, I'll take it. And to be honest with you, I'm very into you. You're a good vibe. You're fun. I want to see you after this. Well, I feel the same way. I really do. Enjoy your company. Are we done here? He's like, let's kiss.
I'm like, how does Daisy win like this? I fucking love that Daisy is a chain-smoking drunkard. You know... And she's got three dudes after her. She's just fully making out with him with wine and cigarette breath. Good for you, Daisy. Daisy's my fucking hero after this episode.
She is a hero. She really is.
She's a national treasure. She's an international treasure.
And I like them. Dare I make the pun? I ship them. But I do actually
like Daisy. I want to. I mean, I'd like Keith, but Daisy, she needs somebody more exciting than Keith. She looks like tired when she's with Keith. She looks like,
I think that I just am always happy when Daisy makes out with someone. I think I was like, oh my God, Daisy and Colin, that's so cute. I think I was like that last season and we saw how that turned out. So
comes to life when she's with Gary in a way that I haven't seen her come to life with other people. That's what I'm basing it on. So let's see here. Then of course Cloyce sees it and he's bummed. And then now it's time to go back to the boat. And Daisy's Gary, of course, who already knows, is like, Daisy, what's the most fun? What's the best part of your night, Daisy?
I kissed the Keith and I liked it.
Does his name start with K?
Yeah, did you not hear my parody song?
Ooh, sorry about that. So, Cloyce, like,
yeah. Yeah, you kissed Keith, didn't you? Reverse.
She's like, yeah, I kissed someone. It was nice. I'm so tired. Goodbye.
And Deanna's like, yeah, you've had a bit of a roller coaster. She goes,
I have had a bit of roller coasters. Thank you for acknowledging that. I'm going to bed.
Thank you for acknowledging I've been emotionally to Magic Mountain.
So Cloyce is like, it's kind of funny to have that vibe transferred, but whatever. I'm along for the ride. Sad.
So then Chase and Danny go to bone. There's a lot of butt slapping and sounds. And that was my favorite one when he just slaps her butt and she goes.
Yeah, it was very almost Elphaba.
Church Army commercial.
Yeah.
So Gary is hooking up with Keith. Oh, Gary is talking. He's making fun of Daisy, being like, "Oh, you hooking up with Keith?" And she's like, "Is that okay with you?" And he's like, "Hey, he told me you wanted to be just work colleagues, and that's what we're going to be, is work colleagues. I just didn't think you were going to hook up with someone so soon." Oh, hurt. I'm hurt, Gary.
Sad, sad, Gary. So Chloe is like, "Keith, how was it?" He's like, "What?" And Diana's like, "The keys. Are you all right, Cloyce?" And Cloyce is like, "Yeah, I'm great." And Diana's like, "I actually feel bad for Cloyce. If he really liked her, I get it because I've been in that situation with Danny, that bitch, and Chase. It's just fucked. I'm going to call up Vladimir and see what he can do about the situation."
So then Daisy is talking with Keith, and she's like, "You know that Gary and I have a very complicated relationship. He farts on my face. I tell him I'm going to murder him. I put Drano in his drinks. He barfs a little bit. We make out. We hate each other again. We start each other's houses on fire. You know, that sort of thing." And Keith is like, "I find that intriguing. She's like, "Oh, all right. Well, he's not okay with us kissing. He says he's okay with us kissing, but he's not." He's like, "I'd love to hear about your Gary drama." He's like, "All right.
Here's what I'm trying to say. Gary's trying to pretend to be sober. He's already fallen off the wagon 5 times. I just want to be present when he falls off for the 6th time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I can't be distracted by you."
And he's like, "All right, let's make out." And she's like, "You're still going to make out with me?" He's like, "Love it." So she's into it. You know, she's like, "He's got self-confidence. I like that. So, and I can still bitch about Gary every day and he's not going to mind. I mean, win-win."
So Gary and Davide are in the hot tub, and Davide is like,
"So what do you think about Daisy and Keith?"
And Gary is like, "Well, I just don't understand, bro. I do not understand it." He's like, "I can't believe she would actually be attracted to or would make out with someone who doesn't treat her like total garbage." And yeah. Daisy's basically like, "Well, coming off the breakup with Colin, I think I learned a lot. And I think he deserves honesty from me. And Keith is very secure in himself. He was in plays in high school. So I think that says a lot. He's just so emotionally stable."
So Gary is doing his whole like, "Well, she's made it very clear we're just work colleagues, but I have such feelings for Daisy," which I'm not falling for 2 seconds. So then Daisy and Keith make out in bed, and then Gary and Daisy wake up the next day, and he's like, "Are you going to have a little chat this morning?" And he's like, "I just want good vibes for the rest of the season." And she's like, "Oh, God, if someone came at me and I was absolutely awful and led me to tears, that's what you care about, is me making up with her."
Yeah. She's like, "Donnie is incredibly manipulative and you're playing into her manipulation." And Gary's like, "Yeah, well, maybe I am. And maybe that's why I want you two guys to sort it out. Probably take her for an ice cream and a chat first."
"Absolutely not.
Take her for taking a fucking toddler for a little treat. Absolutely not, Gary. I'm not taking her for ice cream. Not for 1 second. Not one sprinkle. Not one smidgen of fudge. She gets no ice cream. Not from me.
Yogurt planet for that bitch." So then Daisy passes by the girls and she goes, "Danny, do you know what you're doing or do you need some direction?" She's like, "We know." She goes, "God, fucking moron." So then Deanna goes, "Well, I hope the energy gets better." And I think Danny says that, right? Danny says, like, "I hope the energy gets better." And Deanna's like, "Well, our energy's up there." She goes, "No, our energy is good, but her energy." I was like, "Oh, shut up. Yeah. You did what you wanted and it didn't work. Okay, just stop."
Yeah.
You're like, so then, you're really wanting to this girl who you just jumped on the peen that she wanted after jumping on every other peen that she wanted for the whole season. And you really think she's going to jump on your side? No, ma'am. No.
So, Chase is like joking with Keith about making out with Daisy and stuff. And Keith is like, "Yeah, well, maybe there'll be another one." And Chase is like, "Well, has Gary said anything to you?" And Keith is like, "Yeah, no, I spoke to Gary before." And he was like, "No, good. We all have our histories, but it's all good." He's like, "Well, I'll tell you, him giving you the go-ahead doesn't exactly mean what he says." He's like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." And we see a flashback to Colin asking Gary if he was okay if he pursued Daisy. And Gary be like, "Absolutely, no problem whatsoever. I absolutely will not undermine this relationship in any sort of way."
Yeah, and Keith is just like, "Good to know. So then he's like, yeah, I don't want to piss off my boss, but I like Daisy. There's something there. And so he's like, Daisy's her own woman. And Chase is like, we're all incestuous, disgusting pigs at the end of the day, huh? And Keith goes, we're all just winky cousins, eh?
Winky cousins? Ha, 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 ha. So then now it's time for a preference sheet meeting. Okay, everyone, the primary, her name is Detox, and this is a world-famous drag queen superstar from Chicago. She's thrilled to finally be taking a vacation, and she's bringing along her sister Heather, along with fellow drag queen Lola LaCroix, and three other friends. Her friend Mark is an adult film director. It's his first time back in Ibiza. Hey, why are you guys funny? Did someone make a joke about caves?
Oh my gosh. So Detox has a million followers. That's crazy. 1.1 million followers.
Was Detox on RuPaul?
Uh-huh. On RuPaul season 5 and All Stars season 2 or 3. I can't tell because there's an exclamation point.
Wow.
And the founder of Fluorescence Supplements. Who was that? What does that do? Supplements. About our ingredients. I can't read all that. Have you gotten your 10 serving bottle of After Party yet? When you're doing dry January, but your bestie asks you if you want to get $8 espresso martinis, what's fluorescence? I need to know what it is. I'll take it.
I'm asking, so my friend who's like obsessed with RuPaul, Drag Race, I'm saying, do you have any thoughts on Detox? Asking. they will be aired on Watch What Crappens.
Yeah. No. So Glenn's like, well, this is a famous drag superstar, thrilled to finally be taking a vacation. She's bringing along her sister Heather, along with fellow drag queen Lola LaCroix and three other friends. Her friend Mark is an adult film director. It's his first time back. And wait, why is that funny? And they're just cracking up. And they're like, oh my God, porn. He's a porn star. No, he directs it. He says, go in, go out, go in, go out.
Well, I guess I'm in the wrong industry. You should have seen that telenovela last night. It was pretty close. So Gary says, one day the guests would like to enjoy all the boat has to offer before a dinner that will blow their minds. So that way they can make many puns about blowjobs. And Daisy goes, oh, and for night two, they want an intergalactic, metallic-themed everything. After, they hope to bring some of the crew with them for a night in the town. So Gary's like, yeah, baby. So they're going to figure that all out and everything. And that's the plan for this charter. So then
Keith and Daisy are hanging out in the galley, and or not the galley, but like the snack room or whatever. And he's asking where Chase slept last night. And she says that he was in one of the guest cabins. And he's like, oh, I thought that was a big no-no. She's like, they're the ones that clean it. What do I care? And listen, one thing I trust Danny with is cleaning. Like, how do you not care when you know it's Danny? She's probably leaving fluids all over the place in there.
But I'm seriously concerned taking away the privilege. And Keith is like, really? She's like, I just need to calm down. I need to talk to her. And Keith is like, well, I lost my passion for yachting because of you. I don't know how I'm going to continue in the industry. You're such a negative boss. I guess he's just like making fun of Danny. Yeah. So Daisy goes, all right, Danny, it's time. It's time to have our talk. Okay, let's just sit down here. All right, you sit there. I'll sit here. We're going to have a nice calm chat where I'm going to inspire you and bring back passion into your life. Okay, here we go. So I've taken the time to reflect on what you've spoke to me about yesterday, and I know we're tired and emotions are running high, and yes, of course, I want to finish the season strong, so thank you for coming and speaking to me about it. I think you're a great stew. I think you're a great asset to the team, and I think you're also the biggest idiot I've ever met in my life. Get off the boat!
Wait a minute. I was doing so good. Strike that last part. However, saying that, it's not my job to create passion in you, you dumb little hooker.
I was like, all right, there we go. But she actually stayed pretty strong. She did the whole, like, started off easy, and then she just ripped her. And she was like, you know, I'm not going to create passion in you. And you saying that this season's only carrying on because you have initiative, that's very undermining. And yes, we get fucked up charters, but that's not fair to put on me. And to say that you feel hard done by, I'm really not okay with it. I'm your manager. I'm good at my job, and I think it's important for you to understand your rank. I've given you extra liberties, like letting you fuck. Do you want to get off from the fucking? And then that's when Danny's like,
I'm sorry. I'm so yeah. sorry. Please don't take away my, you know, my splooge.
She's like, oh, you're not feeling passion? Well, soon you're not going to be feeling an orgasm, too, if you don't get it together. Understand your rank, little person.
Yeah.
So
you're going to be having some closet fucking if you don't
yeah.
apologize really quick. So she's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she literally's like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm grateful for all the things you do, but yeah, I'm so sorry. Please don't take away the guest room privileges. I need the dick. I need it so badly in ways you don't even understand. She's like, that's okay. I know it's a high intensity environment, at least for those of us who actually do the work. And I appreciate the apology. Hopefully we can go forward and finish this season strong.
I'm sorry. Please don't take away my penis. She's like, all right, just get off me now. So, then she's like, I think Danny lost sight of what her role is. She's here to do beds and heads and set the table if I allow her to. Dun, dun, dun. She's like, ooh, I'm going to cut off her sex life and her artistic passion.
Yes. It's almost the same thing. So Danny's like, I think Daisy hates me because I'm a threat to her position. Okay, lady.
You are not.
Okay, can we have this lady just walk the plank at this point? I mean, come on. Danny a threat to the position? Whose position? I don't know what position she's a threat to, but it's definitely not Daisy's.
No. She's got three guys after her. You have one who probably would still be after her given 5 minutes, you know, because he hasn't let up on Deanna yet either, by the way.
Yeah.
So I love that. By the way, that's another thing we didn't mention is Chase does his like, hey, I'm just a flirt with girls, but it's really only Deanna and Danny. He's not doing it with Daisy or anybody else. So, I don't know that I'd feel so secure over there, Danny. So then, I think he's still keeping those options open, and who can blame him, you know? So then Keith is in the mess with Glenn, and he's looking over the preference sheet, cracking up, and he's like, Mark is an adult filmmaker, and his first time back since filming an award-winning adult movie. This is his IMDb. Sweet Meat, You Asked for It, Train My Hole, and Urine Ibiza. Here it is. It's spelled urine. Urine. Urine Ibiza.
By the way, first of all, I admire the wordplay. I mean, look, there was a show called Urinetown, but
but it wasn't like trying to say something. It wasn't like a pun. It was literally Urinetown. You know? Yeah,
it's listen, everyone has different kinks. I'm not gonna kink shame, but I do think it's funny that someone's like, I want to get off tonight. Oh yeah, Urine Ibiza. that's gonna be how I get there.
I'm just getting so tired of watching people pee on each other in like local places. There's people peeing on each other in Ibiza. Yes, boner.
So changing to the whites. Okay, the guests are coming on board, and which means cue the raunchy puns. So Detox comes on and she's like, Daisy, are you going to be able to come out with us? I don't know yet. Well, I'll have to talk to Glenn. What's the best way to convince him to let some of you guys come out with us? And Lola goes, anal.
You're like, of course.
So then, by the way, that literally makes no sense.
That's what you have to say, you know?
But that's, and gay, honestly, when you're around a bunch of gays, you just say anal. Like when there's like a question mark, you answer with anal, and then just it always lands. It just always lands.
That's just how we are, you know? And I wish I could say me and my gays were better. We are not.
No.
We are not. When we are not better gays, than that.
Yeah, I'm always like, oh my God, so cross. But then when we get around the gays, it's like, what does anyone want for dinner? Anal. Has anyone checked the mail? Anal.
So Keith is like, so we all getting dragged for this charter? And Davide is like, I actually won a competition back in the day. Men dressed like women dressed like men. I was hot. I was young, 18, 17. There were people watching, cheering, urinating on me, filming it. I just smashed it. What can I say?
And then we see a picture of it, and it's so cute. It was like boy drag, you know.
But it was weird that they put up the picture of Glenn in an afro first. I was like, excuse me. I guess wrong photo.
Wait a minute. Why did you dress like B. Arthur in Maude? Oh, this is the wrong photo. That is Glenn.
Oh.
Is that the mom from Mr. Belvedere? Oh, sorry, I submit the wrong photo to production.
And they're like, well, what did you win? And he goes, I can't remember. Probably some free ice creams. I'm Italian.
We're not taking Danny for ice cream.
Sorry, different subject. Different type of ice cream.
So then now it's time to sail, guys. And meanwhile, the gays are eating fruit, a fruit tray. And one of them's like, oh, my God, this fruit tastes like garlic. And Lola's like, garlic? Oh, my God, let me try it. This tastes like anal.
So turns out the fruit was cut on the same cutting board that a red onion was cut on earlier. So because Cloyce was like, I haven't cut with garlic at all today. But then he remembers there was an onion. And then he tells us, after last night, I feel like I'm not in the right headspace. Okay, don't blame Danny choosing Keith on your. You cannot. I'm sorry. You cannot blame your bad cooking on Danny and Keith. I'm not Danny.
Daisy
and Keith.
Yeah. But he does. And but he, you know, he takes ownership kind of behind their backs. So then Lola's like, I really want that dragon fruit. Need it. So the new plate of fruit comes. And Danny's like, you know, everything was cut with a new board and a new knife. So I'm hoping for the best. If not, it's probably the fruit. Huh, well, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
Unfortunately, the fruit wasn't inspired to be passionate by Daisy. So apologies for that. We're having a little bit of an issue with leadership on this boat. So, they sail. It's fun. Then they stop sailing and they start doing water toys and everything. And Daisy asks Diana to set up for dinner and everything. And Cloyce is putting together dinner. He's not sure what it's going to be just yet. But meanwhile, Danny is like, "Did Daisy say we have to?" What is that? We have to hurt them.
I don't know. But
does Daisy we have to do something?
Yeah, she's like, are we letting her do this one? And Deanna's like, well, I mean, she was doing it. She was putting it down. And she's like, well, it looks like a grandma. So then the guests sit for dinner. And Cloyce, meanwhile, is making croquettes. And he's like, well, Spain, as we know, is famous for croquetta. You have Spanish spice, lemon aioli, enjoy. And so he hasn't brought one yet. He's behind with one. But yes. He gets one back. And so then Lola is not liking it.
Yeah, what? I want to say one thing. So when Lola is out of drag, Lola was like very funny. And like Lola was like, I'm so sorry. We have like a million suitcases. I'm so sorry. Like he was like being like funny and so nice to staff and everything. And like he was just, you know, fun gay. And then the moment that he got into drag, he became a terror.
Yeah.
She then became like awful. And she was like, this croquetta, this is basically a mozzarella stick, like fancy mozzarella stick. I'm like, yeah, it's delicious. Now, was it a very elegant presentation? Absolutely not. It was like three giant fried balls on a plate. This was not like a high-end presentation. What'd you say?
There was an aioli.
But would I have ate the fuck out of those things? Absolutely.
Yeah, I was kind of embarrassed for Lola because that was actually a good thing to serve. Like, I don't think he was out of pocket serving them croquettes. Like, that's crazy. And then they looked like great. And she totally looked kind of stupid calling it a mozzarella stick. I was like, oh, you poor thing. Like, you may be rich, but you're still kind of trashy in this area. But I will say, I agree with you that it was so funny watching her go from man to woman and then becoming such a bitch. Because there is something about power, you know? It's like when you get so much power so fast, you don't really know what to do with it. Because I'll tell you this, that is a beautiful woman. I mean,
oh my God, she looked like Jenny McCarthy.
When she came out, I was like, who is that? She is fucking gorgeous. That is amazing. The other one, Detox, that wig didn't fit. That one was a mess. But I was like, damn.
I liked Detox because Detox decided to, I don't know if this was intentional, but Detox came out to dinner looking like Angelica Houston.
Yes, she was an Angelica Houston drag queen. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that. That's so bold. I love it.
I so appreciate that.
Yeah, she looked great in this outfit, but the one that she was in earlier when she was wearing like the kind of Patsy Stone blonde like hair, her other hair was shiny, coming through on the bottom and stuff. I was like, okay, this one's a little messy, but man, Lola, damn, girl.
But Lola, yeah, Lola came out looking like 1997 Jenny McCarthy. And I was just like on one. Like, she was not happy once she became Lola. And she's like, this is like a cheese stick in ball form, which was totally dismissive of basically, you know, the croquette. And Daisy's like, I will pass it along. What'd you say?
And cheese sticks. Daisy was like, you know, yeah, I'll pass. She's cracking up, though. She's like, I'll pass it along. And then the rest of the guests are like, no, this is actually amazing. She's like, no, thanks. But they're like, you're crazy. This is really good. So she leaves. She's like, I'm out of here. If we're going to wait forever, I'm just leaving anyway. And they're like, what's wrong with Lola? So I thought there was going to be some story like Lola was just going off the rails. And by the end, she'd be snorting coke off, you know, Captain Glenn's ass or something. I was like, Lola's going down.
But And then there was like a guy in like a sheer shirt who was like, he just was obsessed with making jokes about how young Cloyce was. He's like, is he up past his bedtime? Is he allowed to even talk to us? Does he have his homework to do? He's got to do some algebra. Where's dinner? Is he watching the Flintstones? Changing his diaper? Come on, guys. Come on. Yes, and me. Someone, please. I can't be the only one making jokes at the table.
The first two were kind of cute, but then it got to be like, you sad old queen. You know what I mean? Like, just stop. Like, you're literally so Botox and so filled up and so sucked up on everything that you're trying to be young that when you see an actual young person, you're this mean to them. It's just weird. Like, you can't be this mean and steal their spinal fluid later. So pick a lane. You know what I mean? Be smarter.
So Cloyce is like, he brings out like an arugula salad. And so they're going to like do some smoking or whatever, like smoking the next thing. And so he's basically, the arugula salad goes over better. They're like, oh my God, he's still in diapers and he knows what arugula is. Am I right, guys? Am I right? He's young. Anyone? So then Cloyce is going to do a thing where he has like cloches over all the dishes, but he's going to fill them with smoke. But the smoking machine is like broken. So they're waiting. And at first I was like, okay, whatever. Like 9 minutes between courses is not like the end of the world. But then it gets up to 15, 16, 17. And then it's like, oh my God, come on, hurry up, hurry up. We got to get the food out to them.
Dun, dun, dun. He's very consistent in his inconsistencies. And at this point in the season, I need someone that I can depend on. Does anybody know someone I can depend on?
Anal.
And that brings us to the end of Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Good episode. Really good Daisy Under Fire episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it looks like next week's episodes can get real messy when Gary's vow of sobriety hits a bit of a speed bump when he goes out on the town with the crew, with the guests in Ibiza. So that, I'm sure, is going to be a spicy episode. Looking forward to that. Thanks again to everyone for listening. Be sure to go vote now that Daisy is on the ballot. Go give Daisy some love and get your tickets to come see us at the Crappies. See you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets a name from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches,
Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.